Coach, thanks so much for being on the show again.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be here.
Yeah, listen, last year was such an incredible year. There are specific things I want to talk to you about, but let me ask you first, put into words what 2024 was for your team and for you.
Yeah, it was a great season for us, you know, highs and lows throughout. And, you know, one of the highlights, of course, was winning the FCAC championship and probably the best game of lacrosse I've ever been a part of. You know, so that was a special day, a special game, and the first champion, you know, FCAC championship in program history was awesome. And, you know, unfortunately, when we went to the state tournament, we didn't end with a championship there. But overall, I thought it was a great season, a season where a lot of young players stepped up into big roles, and excited to see those guys come back this year.
Yeah, it was so incredible. I want to first go back before we talk to the final. You did an interview with me that stuck with me very much. It was a Darien game.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that. After the game, I asked you, and you said, we need to be tougher. And you weren't talking about being tougher, about hitting guys. It was about to be tougher mentally. Yep. You remember when you said that?
Yes, I do.
And that kind of stuck with me. Can you talk about what you really meant and explained about being tough mentally, and how you think the team progressed through the season and got to where you thought they should, you know, you won the championship?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, a lot of toughness, right? A lot of people look at toughness and they just think that's like being big and strong and physical and hitting people and, you know, taking guys out when they're trying to score goals, or, you know, running through people with the ball. But, you know, the other side of toughness, which that is a component of being tough, but another component of it, in that, you know, I didn't feel like we had in that Darien game. I think, you know, and actually talking after the New Canaan semifinal game, I said that that's what won us that game, was that toughness of, you know, being committed to doing things the right way when it would be easier to do, you know, to take shortcuts, when it's easier to, you know, in the sport of lacrosse, when there's a loose ground ball, you can push somebody in the back. And that's kind of easy way to fight for a ground ball, but that gives the other team the ball, right? And so that's not good for us. And it's tougher, actually, in that situation. It might look tough to knock somebody over, but it's actually tougher to do the right thing, to fight for the ground ball the right way, where you can actually get us the ball. And so that was, you know, and then, you know, the other component with mental toughness, right, is dealing with adversity, dealing with things that don't go your way necessarily, and how are you going to respond to those things? I think that was, and it has been for years, but that was a big piece for us last year, was, you know, kind of midway through the year, and we lost four FCAC games, and three of them we were able to avenge in the FCAC playoffs, but was responding to those situations that when things don't go your way, how are you going to make the next step?
And that's a big part of it. And you talked about, everybody called it the revenge tour, right? Because you kind of, and I know we talked to you like, well, you know, I don't get caught up and all that. But it was such an incredible FCAC run. Obviously, the final is going to stick. But is there any moment during that run that kind of sticks to your mind, something that happened maybe behind the scenes or on the field, that you kind of thought, this is our year?
You know, to be honest, you know, there wasn't any certain point where I felt like, oh, we're definitely going to win this thing. You know, the way we played in the first round of FCX against Wilton and then the semifinals, then I felt, you know, obviously felt really good about that, you know, kind of having two big wins. But I wouldn't say it was any one specific moment throughout the year where you're like, okay, we're going to win this thing. It was, and which I think is kind of what the season was for us, was every day and every game was a new battle and a new challenge for us. And it was more about stacking up as many good days in a row and then, you know, a little bit of getting hot at the right moment and playing our best lacrosse at the right moment. And, you know, as a coach, you've got to balance things with the FCAC, where we play all of the top teams, tier one teams. We play all of them throughout the year, and then you're going to rematch with three of them, most likely, you know, two or three of them through the FCAC playoffs, right? And so as a coach, you're sitting there like, the in-season win is important, absolutely, but, you know, if you feel like you've got a certain game plan that you want to use to win a playoff game when it matters the most, you know, there's instances where you're kind of holding things back, especially late in the year, as you're, you know, going to turn right around in a week or two and play again. You know, there's kind of things that you're holding back and saving, you know, kind of for the playoff run. So I wouldn't say that, you know, there was necessarily one day, but it was just a culmination of continuing to get better. And each day, the improvement we made and, you know, and then winding up with some success down the end.
Yeah. And a lot of things said, but I also want to touch on, the final was great, but that interview you gave when you talked about Ben, because it was interesting what happened to you guys, exactly what happened to basketball this year, where Sam went down, right? And then he was a big part of them. But Ben and that FCAC and that moment, why did you want to make sure that, you know, that you talked about that at that moment?
You know, to be honest, I don't know. It just kind of hit me. You know, as a coach, I always joke, as a coach going into the game, you're planning out what you're going to say when you win the game, right? You already know what you're going to say. And you know, you're at all of our games and it's like, okay, I know what I'm going to say to prep zone after the game. Yeah. Right. And you never ahead of time, you're never thinking about, well, if we lose, what am I going to say? Yeah. But you know, that was just something that kind of came to me the couple days before, just watching the way Ben was interacting with his teammates and realizing, you know, you kind of felt it all year long, but that was like just a moment where it kind of clicked for me that I noticed and just watched him interacting with his teammates. And I'm like, man, that's like, you know, where he was at the start of the year and what he was expected to do for us and how drastically that changed once he got injured and what he did do for us down the stretch and the way he was uplifting, because we had freshmen and sophomores all over the field last year. And he as a senior captain was picking those guys up and pushing them to be the best versions of themselves. And, you know, a couple of days before the game, I said, okay, if we win this thing, I'm going to make sure that everybody knows how impactful Ben was to us, because I also knew, you know, how hurt he was that he couldn't play his senior year. He played, you know, probably 4 or 5 games for us and then was done the rest of the other 15. You know, I knew how much that bothered him and hurt him, and he was doing everything to get back and recover, and it just wasn't, the timeline wasn't going to work. So I knew how much it meant to him to win that championship, how badly he wanted to be on the field. And I wanted to make sure that he knew more than anything. And it was great that everybody else got to know, but I wanted to make sure that he knew how important he was to us that day.
Yeah, it was an incredible. I remember I get emotional because I remember seeing you talk about him. And again, it's exactly what I saw in basketball, and you see it that sometimes, you know, the team, you lose it, but it's kind of a next man up mentality. Mm. And it goes to you guys, to the coaches. But the team this year, you're returning a lot of, I mean, you lost some key points, but summarize what you think this season is going to be this year for you guys.
Yeah, I think it's a really exciting season. You know, I think we return, you know, kind of the easy way to put it is we return most of our offense. You know, a couple guys graduated last year that were key guys for us, but a lot of guys are back, like Adam Udell and Tristan Schaefer and Cam Pryor, and then some of those young guys that are now sophomores and juniors that played big roles for us last year. You know, Charlie Clark and then Will Fleming, you know, excited for those guys. And then, you know, the other pieces, we graduated 3 starting defensemen, right? So we have a lot of our offense back. We graduated 3 starting defensemen from last year. But, you know, and obviously we're bringing back Josh Marcus and Ned is a really nice luxury to have back there. So, but trying to figure out how we're going to, you know, replace those 3 guys. And that started for us at defense. And we've got probably, you know, looking at what we've seen in the offseason, we probably have like 10 guys competing for the playing time in those spots. And I think this year more than ever, the defense will be, you know, kind of, you know, up for grabs, right? You kind of, every year we've kind of come back, okay, this guy started last year, so he's likely to be a starter again, or these 2 guys even some years. You know, and this year it's wide open, and I think there's a lot of guys that are ready to step up in those roles. And then faceoffs will be the other piece. So, you know, I think we can score a lot of goals. I think we're going to want to play fast, get up and down the field fast. You know, I think defensively we're going to have to play as a kind of as a system and as a scheme and rely on the guy next to us to kind of have our back. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you know, with Josh and Nett, he can bail us out a lot of the times when we give up shots that we shouldn't. So, you know, I feel very optimistic about the year, excited about the schedule. You know, we've got a great out-of-conference schedule. You know, the rankings change weekly, but, you know, right now I think St. Anthony's and Brunswick are 2 of the top 3 teams in the most recent rankings that came out in the country. So playing those 2 teams is big for us. And then a handful of other, you know, awesome, you know, out-of-conference games, for, you know, state championships, state champions in Massachusetts and New Hampshire and stuff like that.
Yeah, and as you were talking, I'm thinking, because that's what, when I sat with Ian from Field Hockey, he says, I'm thinking, well, you know, I graduated most of my defense and I'm going to do, turned out pretty well for them. They won the state championship, so I'm hoping that's what happens here too, right?
Me too.
Well, because it just, like I said, it's exciting because you're bringing in new guys and all that. And your program, I mean, you've done a great job of always having underclassmen playing. And I know that, you know, it's one of the things I learned with Prep Zone is that you guys don't really look at what class the kid is, but more of, is he ready to contribute? Is that really the mentality of the program?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the way I was taught, you know, as an assistant coach and then becoming a head coach, and I've kind of kept that mindset, was the way we look at it is a senior has first shot to earn his position, right? And so for our first scrimmage this year, we're going to have seniors starting at defense, and they're going to get a chance in practice and in that scrimmage to prove that they earn that spot. You know, it's a situation where, you know, like last year, Josh comes back after being a starter for us as a freshman and a starter as a sophomore, right? He wound up being the starting goalie in the scrimmage, but in a position where, you know, there's an opportunity to earn playing time, I'm going to give seniors first shot. And there's been plenty of instances where that senior has earn that job in the first, you know, in the preseason, earned it in the first scrimmage, earned it in the next. And, you know, that guy has stayed in that spot all year where, you know, you felt like kind of there was some talented underclassmen coming behind him. And that guy just, you know, it's a senior year. He knows he's got one shot and he gives it everything and he does exactly what you're asking for. And then he deserves to be out there. But, you know, if there's an underclassman who's ready to take that job and in practice and in scrimmages outplays the guy that's, you know, older than him, then we're going to play the best guy that gives us the best chance to win. And, you know, the other piece I think that's we're really focused on is our starting lineup for game number one doesn't have to be our starting lineup for two, for three, for four. We are very comfortable, and we've done it every year since I've been here, is we are happy to rotate guys in, and guys that are playing really well in practice and working really hard, they get rewarded with more playing time. And if they get in the game and they play well, then they get rewarded with more. And we've had, you know, a variety of starting lineups. Even if you look at last year from game to game, there was a variety of lineups.
Yeah. And I think it's so encouraging, you know, for the players, because they know at any point they can have, you know, a shot at this. It's like everybody's at, and I've, you know, I'm hanging out by your sideline, and guys, even the ones that are not playing are so into it. It's such a fun sideline. Talk about the locker room and everything that goes around the program, because I see a lot of, you know, the guys lifting in the offseason and all that. How is the program overall? What's the state of the program?
I'm very happy with the state of the program. I think, you know, I've got an unbelievable coaching staff, and one of our key focuses as coaches with, you know, from the freshman to the varsity is, you know, making sure that our culture is where we want it to be. And it took a little bit of time to get it there. And, you know, 2019, you know, we were talking about, as coaches, we were talking about things and goals and things we wanted to accomplish that were, you know, years ahead of us, but making sure that every kid in the program knew that that's where we're moving towards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that 2019 class, that senior class, was about 20 guys. And, you know, those captains, they really started this trajectory. And, you know, at this point, I think, you know, it's cool. Our freshmen are coming in and they're like, you know, we've been successful, right. You know, had a lot of success, and the guys that have come in before them, they were coming into a program where, you know, that wasn't always the case, and was always competing, but just hadn't had that championship success. And so now part of our culture building is making sure that these incoming freshmen and the eighth grader, seventh grader, sixth graders, they all understand that how this was built, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not like you walk into Staples, okay, now you're a champion, or now you're part of a championship program. It's what you're doing every day is what builds that program. So as far as the state of the program, I think we're in a good spot. I've got, again, fantastic coaches that work really hard. You know, some of them coach other sports, some of them work in the school, which is just a huge advantage for us in building that culture and making sure we have a finger on the pulse of everything every day.
Yeah, it's incredible, because like I said, we're always following the social media. And speaking of social media, I wanted to ask you about something that you and Coach Anderson started this year, which is Steel Point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that's been like, and I know it's a multi-sport facility and everything that goes on, but talk about the idea behind it, how it came around, and, you know, introduce us to it. I don't know if everybody that follows prep some kind of knows what goes on there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, so Coach Anderson and I, you know, we've been looking for a handful of years, the last couple of years, to try and find a place where, you know, listen, indoor space is getting harder and harder to get. So many different sports are playing, and, you know, every sport seems like it's growing. So they, instead of having one team, they have two teams, they need more court space or whatever. So it's just been, you know, difficult to, let's say, to get indoor space consistently. You know, we work with our youth kids all the time. So basically Steel Point came about because we were looking for a space that we could build our own programs, our you know, our own lacrosse, football, baseball, you know, speed and agility we do in there. So we basically wanted to find a place where we could do all these awesome things, bring, you know, high-end athletes, low-end athletes, everybody, right? An opportunity for everybody to come and train. And, you know, some of it is sport specific, some of it is super focused, some of it is a multi-sport environment where kids are playing a variety of sports. And you know, and then the other piece that we're growing is having it be kids from multiple towns, right? Which is really awesome. You know, we definitely have a lot of Westport families right now that are supporting us and coming in there, and but we've expanded to Fairfield and Shelton and Monroe and, you know, a handful in Bridgeport and a handful of other towns where our Westport lacrosse, you know, I coach a lot of lacrosse programming there, right? A lot of our Westport boys are working with the boys from Fairfield and training with those guys and making new friends in the sport and seeing new, you know, new things that other guys are doing. So Steel Point's been great. You know, looking to continue to grow it. You know, the spring and summertime, spring's pretty busy for us being on the field, but I'm looking to continue to grow that, and I'm excited for what the future holds there.
What has been the most surprising thing since you started it? positive or negative, but what has been the most, like, one thing that you thought maybe, oh, okay, I didn't know this was going to happen or whatever. What has been that?
I mean, the easy answer is when you're building the budget to outfit the facility, the budget increases pretty quick, but that was pretty surprising. But no, I think maybe not the most surprising, but maybe like more towards the most rewarding thing, right, has been kind of interacting with a lot of athletes that I've coached before, but in a much more small group level. That's the other piece about it, is it's a smaller, it's not a full field facility. So you're kind of capped at about 20-25 kids, depending on the age. And so you're working in much smaller groups a lot of the times, where you're working with 12 kids, and you get to really know the kids on a personal level. And then again, that seeing how quickly, in the instance I'm thinking of is like the Fairfield boys and the Westport boys, rather than being two groups on opposite sides of the clinic, they mingle with each other and they start high-fiving each other and become buddies with each other through a 12-week program. That's been, it's not that it was surprising, but it was like really encouraging and a really awesome positive to what we're doing.
Yeah, and it's like, as you're talking, I'm thinking exactly about Prep Zone, because when you start interacting with people, like on a closer level, you just find out that everyone's just at heart they're good and they want to get along, right?
Yep.
It's pretty cool. And it's fun you do that. And I think it's really cool that you're kind of mingling that. But also, I think it makes the high school coaches more accessible, right? I mean, people are kind of getting to meet you and Coach Anderson on a very personal level, right? Yeah. And I think that's going to help in the season, don't you?
I do. You know, the big focus for us at Steel Point has been the youth, and our high school coaches have done a really good job, again, from the very beginning, of making sure that we're involved in the youth program. Myself, Coach Anderson, Coach Griff, Coach Pettersor, like, I can go down the whole list of our high school coaches, and it's about like 80% of the high school, eight out of 10 of the high school coaches are coaching youth teams and involved in the youth program and coaching youth off-season programming. So it's just really, like you said, exactly what you said, is I want the youth players and I want the youth families to become very familiar with our coaches and look at our coaches the way I look at them, as really amazing role models for their kids, that, you know, whether they're going to be the goals, they're going to be Adam Udell and score all the goals, or Josh Marcus and make all the saves, or if they're going to be the guy that's on the sideline rooting his teammates on, being part of that program, they know that kid's going to come out of our program ready to go off into the real world, into college, and be a great young man. Yeah.
And I've been a big part, in my mind, because I've gone through, obviously, Coach Rec and travel level, but never the high school. But a lot of times about the experience and not really the result. And the fact that you guys are opening up and giving these kids, I mean, I think I saw a video where, people were catching, some kids were catching ball from Caleb Smith.
Yeah.
He's talking about kids catching ball from a UConn quarterback, Division I quarterback. That's a great experience.
Yeah, no, and that's the other component that I haven't mentioned, but is we have... Sacred Heart University is kind of right around the corner. Their lacrosse program, their football program, those guys have come down and helped out coaching in our programs. Like you said, Caleb Smith is in there. A bunch of the current Staples High School players are coming through and helping out, coaching up some youth clinics too there. So it not only are they interacting with the coaches, but they're also interacting with a lot of them. They're idols, the person they want to be when they grow up. They're getting to catch the pass from Caleb Smith, and he's a rock star in there, right? Yeah. And so it's been really special in that regard too.
Yeah, listen, it's like, because I look at Caleb, I always, and I've done some research, like, there have been quite a bit UConn quarterbacks that have gone on to the NFL.
Yep.
Right, you look, I know we have Dan Orlovsky, the latest one, but there's other one. I think I saw one the other day, I can't remember the name, but the guy really wasn't like a quote-unquote star UConn, but he's had like a 15-year career in the NFL. Yep. And that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
That's stuff you could tell your kids forever.
Yeah, no, and the fun fact is Caleb is actually playing club lacrosse at UConn this spring.
Oh, look,
so he's still got a stick in his hand, and I got sent photos of him playing the other day, and I know I said to him, I go, I want to see you on ESPN as UConn's quarterback, like, go do spring ball, like everything the football coaches tell you to do. And he's like, I just love it, coach. I don't want to put my stick down. I want to keep playing. So I told him he was a little crazy, but it's his passion. It's part of his passion and one of the things he loves and doesn't want to give it up. And we take a lot of pride in that. And when you say, not necessarily about the results, but about the experience, I think, there's so many things we do. I just look at even like the weight room, what we do in there that provides that experience where the kid is not necessarily the top player for us or the all-state guy, all-American guy, but he is getting that unbelievable experience. And we talked after one of the games last year, one of the blowout wins where everybody got in, and we hold every guy in our program to that same standard, whether you're the best player or the worst player in our program, worst in our program. you know, we want to make sure that they're doing things the right way every day, and they're pushing themselves to be the best version of themselves and the best they can be. And that's where every guy is kind of getting that same experience.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about. Like I said, it's like, because you're going to remember some things, but at the end, like, it's how you felt about everything, right? It's how you remember it, how people made you feel, how you made people. That's all about. And you talked about the youth, and I know you guys have been a great, with the Westport Youth Program. Is that still growing? Is that still a big part of what you do at the high school level?
Absolutely. Without a doubt, the Westport PAL program is our feeder, right? That's the future of who we are at Staples, and we don't take that lightly. So our coaches are incredibly invested. The last couple of years, I've got two young boys, and this year I'm jumping back on the sideline. I'm going to coach a team full time, where the last couple of years I was just kind of bouncing around from team to team. But across our coaching staff, we have so many guys that go and help in the youth, our high school boys. We'll finish a practice and there'll be four or five of the kindergarten through fourth grade. The groups will come out onto the field after us and we finish up and everybody's like, all right, we got to hustle down to the locker room. I'm like, all right, we have 10 minutes now. Like, you five guys today, you're going over and you're going to go just high five those kids, like, say what's up, ask them how their day's going, tell them they look like they're playing great and they're shooting the ball well. And those kids, the high school guys, go over there and high five the kids and they're all, losing their minds. I'm sure the coaches don't love it when we interrupt the drills, but the kids certainly love it when they get to, see the guys that they're meet the guys that they're watching playing all our games.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned that FCAC final was the best game against you. You said, I think, best game, right, that you've been a part of?
It was a one-of-a-kind game, yeah.
And it's like, what sticks in my mind is the how full the stadium was on our side.
Yep.
It was completely full. I mean, everyone was there, and that game, that goal happened, and everybody went crazy. But for a kid to see that, understand, I want to be a part of this someday, is everything.
Absolutely. And I think, that was a special day for us. And to your point, the stands was literally from one end to the other end, completely filled. We had people overflowing. My wife was one of them that was like, it's just too crowded. I got to go down on the side. But it was remarkable. And I tell you, every championship game we've played in has been like that. The two state ones, at Sacred Heart, it was the same thing. The second time around, they had to put people behind our benches, which, they never do, but they had to, it was overflow on the other side. So, those days have been special for our program, but when I go to our other sports at Staples, you're seeing the same thing across other sports. And I think it's just a really, a really special testament to our student body, to our, school district, to our town, of how much the town supports our athletes and supports our teams. And, when you look at the rankings of some of our programs and other sports as well, you're like, these are the best of the best in the whole entire country. And they're all competing for championships. Yeah. And so many of them are competing. And it's like, the whole town shows up to support our teams. And we certainly appreciate that in lacrosse. And we definitely feel it, right? And that day it was, the opponents are behind our bench and our fans are on the other side. And it was just unbelievable energy. When you looked at our side, it was filled and the other side wasn't.
Yeah.
We felt it on the field. Absolutely. And I talked after our 2022 state championship, the first one, how our kids were saying, like, coach, why aren't they playing the goal horns when we score? Like, they're doing it when they scored their couple goals. Why don't they do it when we score our goals? And I'm like, guys, they're doing it. We just can't hear it as clearly because there's so many people screaming after every goal we scored. And then, again, that game last year, just, I the same as you, I've got visions of it. I can still picture it clearly.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of, I think they were second graders last year with their shirts off, swinging them above their heads after every goal Adam was scoring in the fourth quarter. And, it was special, right? I'm kneeling down in the third quarter, fourth quarter, like, how are we going to, not even how are we going to score three goals to catch up? It was, how are we going to get three shots? Because we hadn't had a shot in, about a quarter, it felt like. So, sitting there, like, how are we going to even get three shots to score three goals? And then all of a sudden, Adam goes on his run and puts one in, and you're like, okay, we might have a shot here. He puts another one, and you're like, okay, this is a real game now. And then the rest is history, and he just goes and makes those plays and wins the game.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You're talking about Adam, and when you look at star players and what they do, I don't know if you're there or new, but when the field hockey team it was almost the same thing. Sophie scored a couple goals in the overtime, kind of like what Adam did, and just like Adam wasn't having a great game that day. He wasn't, and then he just the fourth quarter he just owned it. Same thing happened to Sophie, but like. Talk about that. I mean, the quality of the players they have, Adam and Tristan and Cam and Josh, I mean, these, what I would call, you know, your star players, they're really, when you need, they're always there performing.
Yeah, that Sophie was ridiculous in the fall. Yeah. It was almost a carbon copy, just, you know, yeah, whatever. I think it was like 10 seconds left or 11 seconds. Right. And just
because I remember I was with VJ. VJ's like, well, I like this stadium because it was the same stadium, yeah, the same goal, the same side. It was everything the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, about your guys.
Yeah. No, listen, I think, you know, I think we're very lucky looking at our senior class this year. So many of those guys played early. They have, you know, experience playing in championship games. They have experience playing in, you know, huge out-of-state games. And to your point, you know, I think it's a combination of their preparation on their own and then our preparation as a team, that it always kind of feels like when that moment and the light shines the brightest, our guys are ready to step up and ready to step into that opportunity. And you know, I think one of the things we talk about a ton is you know, we don't need you to go out there and make a play. You just need to be ready when it's your turn, right? And that play is going to come to you, and don't go out there looking for it. But when it's your turn, you are prepared. You've done what it takes. So when that moment comes, you're just naturally going to do it, right? And looking, you know, to this year, just talking to our captains in the offseason, I can tell, right? They have high aspirations and big goals. And it's like, okay, guys, this is a building process, right? We don't have to win the championship on day one. We've never done that before, right? So on day one, we've got to start here, and we've just got to make sure we're getting better and better and preparing ourselves for those moments that are going to come down the line.
Yeah. And, you know, you talked about mental toughness, talked before. It's like, with your program, and I think with, you know, look, most of the programs in West Staples, like, everybody expects them to win every single game, right? You lose a game and it's like, God, it's the end of the world, which, you know, we're day to day. And like, you guys are not trying to lose games, you're trying to win every game, but sometimes it doesn't happen, right? But how do you kind of, you know, what's the message and what do you keep the guys, you know, to get that mentally tough, you know, maybe after something that didn't really go completely your way?
Yeah, I think, you know, listen, it's, to your point, it's going to happen from time to time. And, you know, I think last year we might have had a 3-game losing streak, and that was like, I know, there was a lot of panic and chaos and a lot, you know, a lot of chatter about that. And, you know, kind of internally, it was just more about focusing in on ourselves. You know, I think that's kind of the biggest thing is we've certainly learned plenty from the losses we've had. And, you know, I schedule the hardest schedule we can possibly get. And we tried to do that on purpose so that we were preparing ourselves for the end of the season. You know, I think as when I started coaching, you know, a long time ago, and then became a head coach about 7 years ago, you know, I was kind of focused in on winning every game and, you know, what's your overall record and, you know, how many wins can you stack up in a row and all those kinds of things. What's your rankings? And all, and like the last couple of years, I've realized that it's all about, you know, training ourselves throughout the year to get better and better each day, to challenge ourselves as much as we possibly can, because again, that big moment comes. And if you haven't been in big games like that, right, I look at, you know, the Don Bosco game last year, right, where Justin Halke was the guy that did what Adam did. He scored 3 straight goals at the end of the game, two to tie it, and then 1 in overtime to win it, right? And you're like, he did that as a sophomore. Now, what is he going to do for us as a junior this year and a senior next year? He's, you know, so much more ready for those moments versus scheduling a weaker game where we could, you know, more than likely win, but we're not creating that environment where you're training, where our team had won that overtime game in the middle of the season. And I do think it helped us, you know, down the stretch to not feel like we're out of it when you're down by 2 or 3 late, because we had been in that moment and we found a way to come back.
Yeah, and Justin, I mean, look at the football seasons he had, right? I mean, he had a great postseason run, everything, so he did great. Yeah. And I know that, and I'm going to put you in spot, because last year we sat here and you said, well, y'all, I want to win the FCAC, and you did. What's the goal for this year?
Without a doubt, the goal is, you know, we're always trying to accomplish these firsts, right? And so right, the goal this year is FCACs and states in the same season. I was, from a young age, encouraged by my family, my parents, my grandparents, right? The phrase was always aim high, right? And you know, to set really high goals, and there's, you know, there's all these cliches about it, right? But I genuinely believe, right, that we need to set extremely high goals for ourselves, because if we don't, there's absolutely no way we're going to accomplish them. So is it a lofty task to go in both of those in the same season? Absolutely. You know, they're really, you know, I'm sure Darian has done it a bunch of times, and, you know, back into the history books, some other programs too, but there hasn't been a ton of situations where the teams are winning both championships like that in the same season. And you look at what the FCAC is now, it's deeper than it's ever been. You know, the top 6 teams are all stacked this year. I think it's going to be a really exciting FCAC season. I think, you know, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. And we saw that a lot last year, but I think even more this year, where, you know, teams that have kind of been towards the lower end of tier 1 are going to be very strong this year.
And you attribute that because, you know, I was going to ask, and it's obvious about, you know, you got Darien, you got New Canaan, Walton, kind of, right, kind of teams are going to play. But you mentioned about six. Who are the other teams that you see that have grown this year that are probably going to be in a lot of games they weren't last year?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, Ridgefield beat us twice last year. They beat us twice last year. They lost to Darien, I want to say, by one in the FCX semis, and then we went on to play Darien, but... So Ridgefield, I think, will be very strong. They've got a new head coach, but they've got a lot of talented players for sure. And then Greenwich, you know, I think Greenwich is a team that, you know, this is going to be one of their better rosters on paper that they've had over the last couple of years. I think their senior class is really good, and they definitely have a couple underclassmen that are going to step into big roles for them. So I think Greenwich will be improved. I think Wilton will be strong. I think Ridgefield will be, as always, very strong. And then, hopefully we'll be up there with those guys. And New Canaan and Darien always are, you know, ready to give a fight.
Yeah, it's going to be so exciting. And I always feel like it. I always look at the FCAC and the state like, you know, you got the mini FCAC. To me, it's the mini state tournament. Mm-hmm. Because it seems like the FCAC teams are going to be the ones at the end of the FCAC. And why do you think the Western Connecticut is just so dominant in lacrosse? Is there like, you think it's the preparation, the clubs are all here? What do you think? Because, I mean, you guys do club too, so you travel a lot and you see a lot.
Yeah.
Is that just the amount of players, the thing? Is there anything that you think that makes our region so dominant in that sport?
I think number one is kind of the history of our youth programs, the history of our high school and youth programs. I think this area, there's, you know, we're in our, this year's our 45th season. Mm-hmm. I know a couple of years ago, New Canaan celebrated 50, and Wilton is, you know, older than them. So, and Darien's right up there too. So there's a lot of programs that have been around for a long time where, you know, back, you know, a while ago, 40 years ago, there were guys from Fairfield County, Connecticut, going off to play college lacrosse. I'm sure a lot of them returned, worked, you know, I think also kind of being close to New York City, there's a lot of lacrosse players that are, you know, wind up having their careers in finance and on Wall Street. And so being a suburb of New York City, I think has helped, to bring lacrosse, dads and moms into Fairfield County that are then encouraging their kids to play. I think, I genuinely think it's, you know, starts with the youth programs and the way that our, not only Westport and Staples, but New Canaan, Darien, Greenwich, Ridgefield, Wilton, these programs are built from the ground up. They have strong feeder programs. They have, you know, former Division I, former college players, D1, D2, D3, you know, coaching these kids from the time, you know, they're in, like, you look at our eighth grade is a strong group. Like, they've had Division I lacrosse dads coaching them from kindergarten through seventh grade now, right? And so it's no surprise. And the teams, you know, the grades that we've come through, the senior class, right? John Marcus, who was, you know, a coach on our staff up until this year, he'd coached those guys a bunch in the youth program, and you kind of helped jumpstart that. So I think that's probably the biggest thing I would say is it starts with the youth programs. And then, you know, I think, there's a strong concentration of high school coaches. You look at the coaches in the FCAC, I think it's a really good group of guys that care about the sport a lot. And we definitely compete with each other through the springtime. And
when you said that, that was going to be my next question about it. But you guys are so great with each other.
Yeah, it is. It is, you know, and there's I'm sure a lot of sports feel this way, but we definitely say within lacrosse that it's a really small world in the sport of lacrosse. And you've got a connection to, you know, the guy you're coaching against, and, you know, his buddy that he grew up with, played in college with, your buddy that you grew up with. And it's like, oh yeah, I know that guy. I know that. And so it's just such a small community. And I think, you know, the history of the sport, it was given to us by Native Americans, and it's the medicine game is kind of the way they look at it and what they feel about it. And I think it does, for whatever reason, lacrosse does connect people really well, and build lifelong relationships. And I think, the guys that are, or the people that are not great people, kind of get weeded out of the sport. Yeah. And the ones that are good people that you can get along with, even though you compete and you're going against them and you want to beat them with everything you've got, you also have a lot of respect and appreciation for what they're doing on their side of the competition.
Yeah. I always feel like, you know, good teams kind of need each other.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, iron sharp as iron, right? It's like you kind of, if you were here in the FCAC and there was no teams, I mean, yeah, you'd win in a favor, but who cares, right? I mean, right now, we know how hard it is to win the FCAC. Harder than a state, I would, it's like, because you're playing like a four-game elimination tournament against the best team in the states. And it's like, the players know each other, and I always see that the coaches, you guys kind of know each other. And I always felt like it's nothing better than beating your friend, right?
Yeah, you ain't kidding. No, you're right. I think you look at, you know, listen, there's a couple things the state is doing now in lacrosse, you know, in the last couple of years where we've basically, it's become where a team can choose to go to double L if they would like to. So for example, I think this year, Darien, New Canaan, and Wilton, at least those three and maybe more, were all in Class L, not double L, but they have the opportunity to opt up.
That's terrific.
They all opt up, right? Everybody wants to play for the, you know, the big boy tournament, right, with the best of the best, and you have Fairfield Prep comes in there. So we're kind of in a situation where the state tournament, you know, has been elevated. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I would say, you know, the FCAC was the harder one to win, where you couldn't opt up, and it was just based on class size and school size. So, but yes, the FCAC tournament with 1 day rest in between games, three games against, you know, high quality, top 5, top 10 teams in the state, you know, game on 1 day to prepare, game on 1 day and the championship. It's a tough week. And that's another reason why we build the schedule the way we do, is to play three hard games in a week. At least once or twice in the year sets you up for that opportunity of, okay, we finished one game, we have to get ready for the next game, we've got to kind of be smart about our preparation and what we do in practice, so we're not crushing our guys and making them exhausted for the next one. So but yeah, listen, the FCAC, and that's the other piece about the FCAC, is we do need as many strong teams as possible in the FCAC, and I'm really excited about where tier one is. And I think tier two, what we've done where we've split into the two tiers, I think is going to help our tier two teams continue to develop their programs. And it's really important for us. And, you know, the landscape of lacrosse right now is there's a lot of prep schools out there that kids are leaving their hometowns and going away. And, you know, listen, there's some people that's the right option and the best path. But our goal is to provide an experience here where you don't need to do that to get high-end lacrosse, high-end academics, and be part of a community, right? The FCI game last year, I had a phone call, you know, the next day as I'm driving into work. And it's like my son was in the stands and he has said, "Dad, I'm going to Staples." Like, I don't even care about where all the other guys are going and prep school. Like, "Dad, I'm going to Staples because I want to play in that game."
Yeah, and it's, you know, you talk about the crowds, and not going to mention this, but, you know, we see people that players will leave for prep schools, right? And what I hear is, because I try to all develop a relationship with these players, right? I try to get to know them, because as you cover them, you realize that there's a lot more than meets the eye, right? Yep. And there's a player who transferred, and the comment that he made was that, you know, "It's great, but I'm playing to empty stadiums."
Yep.
Right, I'm playing to 10, 15 people and my parents. Where here, it's like I'm playing to the entire school body. You know, it's like the whole town is out here to see it. So it's very special.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, listen, I'm not trying to be disparaging on that route that some people choose and decide on, and that's maybe is the right route for them. Again, I'm just trying to provide the best here. So to your point, you know, I think one is playing in front of the whole town, playing in front of the whole community is special and unique. And I think the other piece of it that, you know, is special is a lot of our guys have played together for many years, right? And so I think Mikey Nealon talked about it after our 2023 state championship about, you know, how much it meant to him that he had played with these guys, a lot of them since second grade, and they were teammates and brothers and family. And when they say family, they mean it, right? Mm-hmm. That they had come through the youth program, come into the high school program, and now we're kind of on their last hurrah with their best buddies that they grew up with. Like, you can't get that unless you're playing for your hometown.
Oh, yeah, and this, to me, it's like this class is, you know, it's special because my son's graduating. So a lot of these kids, like Josh and Adam, I never coach Adam. I've coached Josh, so in basketball. Mm. And you have stories, right? One of the ones that sticks with me with Adam was that rec soccer. Right. And, you know, Adam's always been like an alpha male. He's like, so his dad would come and says, "You know, how you guys doing the season?" I'm like, "Oh, we're struggling." So he'd start with like basically three players less, but he had Adam on the field and it didn't matter. We'd still get choked. Right. Yeah. And I'd say, "Can you just take him out and put all everybody else in and the game would be even, you know?" Yeah. And with Josh in basketball, but like you said, it's like you've seen these kids and you're with them together. So it's like, it's special. It's definitely special.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think we are lucky too. For boys lacrosse at the high school, right? Our guys spend a lot of time together off the field. You know, when one of your jobs as a high school coach is to figure out how to spin everything into a positive reframe the situation. And so we've gotten pretty good at that. But like when I took the job and I was told, okay, well, this beautiful stadium that's 20 steps from your locker room, that's not where you get to practice every day because track is using the track and rugby's and the lacrosse balls will go flying everywhere and hurt people. Right. And so instead of that, you have a 15-minute walk up to the Wakeman turf field. All right. And so, you know, first reaction is you're like, "Oh, this is terrible." Yeah. Right. Like, this is awful. We have 30 minutes a day where we're walking up and walking back. And like that, you know, that sucks. Right. But after realizing like how valuable those 30 minutes could be for our players to walk to practice together. Our coaches have, you know, from time to time will walk with the players. Mm-hmm. You know, the one season I did it every day. I did it most of the days last year. Like, it's actually really good bonding time for us mm-hmm. off the field where, you know, I can grab a kid and ask them what's going on. And, you know, they start talking about all the different things going on in their life. That's not lacrosse that, you know, if I drove up to the, or we walked out to the stadium, I could never have that conversation. If I drove to the field and they walked up by themselves, you know, with their buddies, wouldn't get that kind of insight into their personal life and things that are going on. So while at the beginning it looked like it was such a negative, it's turned into such a positive for us to have that opportunity to bond off the field and, yeah. and our guys get along and, you know, they'll hang out after practice and go to the diner and all those kinds of things. So, you know, it's been amazing.
It's been, yeah. And it's like, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, going to tournaments as you know, with young kids, it's like, the games are great, but the time that maybe you wait between the games, right, where you're like you're chilling out with your friend and you're talking and you're eating together, that's what's special. That's what makes that day special.
Yeah, absolutely, right? It's that stuff. It's the team dinners. It's, you know, certain events. You're hanging out in the hotel after the end of the day. So, you know, we are, again, our coaching staff is intentional in trying to create these opportunities. And, you know, we've got a locker room at the high school and there's a cornhole set in there. And so the guys will get in a few minutes early for practice and go play cornhole and stay around for 15 minutes after and do that kind of stuff. And, you know, we've had a ping pong table in there some years and a pop shot basketball thing. So, you know, we try and do things, you know, create opportunities. We do a cornhole tournament where, over, April break, the boys get together outside of practice and then we do, you know, the dinners and all those kinds of things that are kind of standard.
Who's your ping pong best player?
So we haven't had the ping pong table in there in 2 years.
Back then, is there someone? Because here's where I'm going at. Yeah. So Adam left, and we never did, but hopefully if you watch this, he's got to come back. So he challenged me to ping pong because I learned ping pong, and I'd like to say I'm decent in ping pong. No, not a movement, so I can do that. And he's always like, no. And we're talking about Mario Kart and ping pong. Oh, it's two big things, okay. Right? And I said, so you mentioned ping pong. I'm like, maybe I can find the best lacrosse ping pong player. And we'll do like a little prep zone challenge. That'd be fun.
I would shout out Aiden Barnes, who's a goalie for us last year.
I remember
year.
Aiden. Yeah. Aiden's a good dude.
A goalie for us last year. This is a couple years ago. He was one of the top guys. I think maybe Ryan Skolnick was up there as one of the top guys.
Too, yeah.
But yeah, cornhole last year gets pretty intense, and we've got a, you know, policy or whatever rule. One rule I have is you can make up any rule you want, but you got to put it on the board. It only applies to the next game. So there'll be a list of different rules of how the game has to be played. The guys are making up.
And it's kind of like house rules for Monopoly, right?
Yeah,
when you
exactly.
go play Monopoly, like
exactly.
everybody's got their own house rules, right?
Exactly.
No, let's just play the right
exactly.
rules. I'm a big rules guy. So everybody's like, I said, no, this is not the rules. Like, I think that I read the Uno thing, whatever, but you know, it's crazy. The family, everybody good?
Yeah, everybody's good. Yeah, I got two boys, two little boys, and my wife and I, we're doing all right.
Anything that any series? Do you have time to watch some TV series? Anything you get into lately or no? I know you're really busy with Steel Point. Everything that's going on.
Yeah. I don't make it home too early too often, but.
Anything you watched lately that you think like, no, that was pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, so I'd never watched it originally, but Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix. I don't know how we got my wife and I got into that.
I watched that too. Wasn't that great?
Yeah. So we're probably, I don't know, three seasons in or so. So we're kind of in the mix of it, in the middle of it still. But no, I like it. It's entertaining for sure.
Yeah, it's a good show. We watch it too. I think we're done with it, but it's like. I enjoy that they keep like the, I guess, the case going the season, and then they change to another case, which kind of developed the case as well, but then you kind of change it.
Yeah.
That was a good, very good show.
Yeah, it's good. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like we tried to get into Suits LA, didn't get into much. We got into the original Suits, but it's fun. I do have some time at night. That's one thing we do. So I always like to ask people like what they're into because kind of get a glimpse into what they like off the field, right?
Yeah, no, I liked Suits a lot. When that was on TV, my family growing up, we watched it. Pretty regularly, let's say. And so we watched, I don't know, now rewatched it when it got popular again.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy how things go when they come back?
Yeah, it is. It is. So we watched it, and I don't know, I want to say maybe the first five-ish seasons are awesome, and then it kind of dies off. And so that's, I'm like, I'm not going to get into Suits LA. But
I know. It lasted 15 minutes for us. Nobody's going to be Harvey ever. Let's just get out of this. Let's not try to kid ourselves. It's like they're talking about a reboot of The Office. And I was a huge Office fan.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
no, thank you.
Just, yeah.
No, thank
exactly.
you.
No, thank you. Yeah. I do not. I would rather watch the reruns of the old one. And then like
just make it something different. Don't call it The Office and maybe I'll like it. But if you're trying to be Michael Scott and Dwight Schrute, like,
Don't even get that. You know, there was a story. It was so funny because you were talking about that. It's like, I don't know if you ever saw this, but Rainn Wilson, Dwight Schrute, he said he was in a plane. And the whole time, he's like, did you hear that? He was with a face mask. He was with a face, right? The guy's watching the office the whole time, and he's sitting right there looking at the guy like, dude, I'm right here. Yeah, like, it's so crazy what people go through. It's fun. And everybody seems to like these things. And with the world nowadays, everything is just kind of like, you know, given to you when you can watch anything you want all the time. That's great.
No, Office is definitely up there as one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, I still watch those reruns all the time. We watch a lot of Friends. We do a lot because we kind of grew up with that, so this kind of sticks with you. But
yeah, my wife loves Friends, but I never really got into it. But
I think the first few seasons are good, and then it kind of dies down because most shows do. They kind of milk it. I think that's to me what's so impressive about Breaking Bad, because they ended at the peak of it. 6 seasons, and it's like, did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I did. Yep.
It's like, I felt like it could have gone more, but they ended when it's like, man, there wasn't ever a bad episode.
Yeah.
Now, did you know that they were going to cancel that show?
No, I didn't.
So they were going to cancel that show on, you remember the Fly episode? Mm. Where there was a contact, it was like,
I watched it one time. Yeah. Enjoyed
so, it. So I'll tell you the story, and it's like they had, they didn't have a budget. This story's crazy. They were going to cancel the show. So they want to film everything in one location.
Okay.
So he wrote an entire episode about a fly being in the lab, and Walter just being crazy about the contamination. So they spent basically an entire episode in there, and the guy's like, "Why are we doing this?" He goes, "So we don't have any more money.
This is all we can afford."
So they shot the whole, they one couldn't set, go to anywhere. Set, that's it. It's like, it's crazy. Yeah. So all these stories, I mean, I love, I'm crazy about this back, and that's why I ask you so much about times and things, you guys, because I love these stories that you were talking about, how you walk with the players, right? Things like that. They kind of set the program apart, and you kind of realize where the success kind of comes from. Maybe, it's all the on-field stuff, but it's also the off-field stuff.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think our coaching staff is incredibly prepared when it comes to be on the field, designing practice plans, game planning, scouting, right? I've been very, very lucky. I've said that multiple times today, very lucky, multiple times for years. You know, our coaches watch a ton of film, and we are absolutely prepared, and making our kids prepared and helping our kids be prepared. But so much of it is the off the field, the personal relationships, building that rapport with your players is so critical. And I think there's, a lot of, I think it's kind of swinging back the other way, but there's been a period where it's like, kids aren't tough. Kids don't want to work hard. They don't want to be pushed. They kind of want things given to them, and they're not that tough. Right. And it's just this generation, there's kids these days. And I think that a lot of it comes down to, if you don't have a personal relationship with the kid, a lot of that can be true. But if you build a personal relationship with the kid where they, care about you, they trust you, they know you love them, they love you, they're willing and they want to be pushed really hard, and not yelling and screaming the whole time, but just saying, look, this is the standard, this is what you're capable of, and I'm going to push you until you get there, right? And I think if you approach it that way, where it's, the kid feels like, and we try to do this as much as we can, the kid feels like you want what's best for them, and you're just trying to push them in and help them along that path, I think then they're willing to do whatever it takes to get there. It's where they feel like you don't really care, or you don't really know them, where, well, he's just yelling at me, he's just mad at me, he's just, he's angry, so he's yelling at me. It's not, he's yelling at me because he knows I'm better. He knows I'm capable of more. And that's the thing I think you can get across when you have those kinds of relationships with the kids, where they know where you're coming from, and that it's from a place where you care about them.
It's so right, because I feel like, and again, I'm around all the programs, and I know the lacrosse guy like run through wall for you guys. They really are that way. But you said something there that I've had a personal conversation about that not too long ago. There's a parent saying, well, kids these days. And I said, well, kids these days are just as resilient as we were. They are in a different world. I mean, a world that we didn't grow up in, with this whole tech world, where it's like, and not to get, but people think a lot of times when we were going to school, it's like when school was over, it was over, right? You wouldn't see, unless you go to the guy's house, you don't see him.
Yeah.
Now it's 24/7 connection through apps, through text.
Yeah.
It's such a different world. And it's like, they have other things you're dealing with. So when they're on their own and you put them in spots, like you said, you see how resilient, how strong, how tough they really are. But I think they are, and I think that's something Goldshore said, that the kids these days are a lot smarter. You really can't fake things with them.
That's true.
Right? They know it.
Yeah.
So it's like, they kind of know if you're a good coach, if you're a bad coach, if you're prepared or not prepared.
Yeah.
So you have to be better at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely. I do. You know, it's, again, it's that personal relationship with the kid, I think, is first and foremost, the most important thing you can do. And, you know, I think the other piece is like, these kids need opportunities. Like, you have to give them opportunities to experience success and experience failure. Right. And I think a lot of times I have two little boys and I see it myself where I'm like, you want to like jump in there and help and like fix it and hold their hand. And you're like, well, he actually kind of needs to figure this out and he's going to be a little bit nervous and maybe it won't be, you know, amazing the first time through and it won't click the first time through, but it's like, okay, with a couple opportunities to fail. Okay. Well, last time you did this, now just try this instead, go do it. Yeah. Not on your own, but go do it yourself. I think that that's, you know, we are quick in general to, you know, help, you know, to reach out and help and to fix it for them versus letting them kind of figure out what the problem is, what the mistake was, and then just kind of be a sounding board to help them figure out the solution. Right. And that's, you know, Coach Metzbauer, Dave Metzbauer, who's, you know, one of the best college lacrosse assistant coaches of all time, offensive coordinator. I talked to him a handful of years back about how do you develop IQ in your players, right? Which is one of the hardest things as a coach to figure out, like, and every kid who's told like, oh, coach, what can I do to get better? One of the answers is always, well, you got to improve your IQ, right? Which is just your understanding of the game, where to be, when to cut, when to stay still, you know, which hand you're supposed to be in. You know, if this guy moves this way, how do you react? It's all understanding the game, right? And it's really easy to say that's what you're not good at. It's really hard to say, okay, this is what you can do to get better at it, right? And so talking to Coach Metzbauer, who's won a ton of national championships, I don't know, he's probably like 8 or 9 at this point, as an assistant coach, he would talk about just creating rules to the game and letting the kids figure out how to score goals, how to stop goals, right? And so it's like, we'll take the field and we'll divide it on an angle across and say, okay, everybody has to stay on this side, 4 against 4 on this side, and there's limited space. And the first couple of reps are really messy and don't work. And you're like, okay, these guys don't get it yet. But all of a sudden one guy starts to move to this area of the field that now opens up space. And it's like, oh, wow. Like if I stay over here, I'm now creating this for my teammate. And if I cut as this guy moves this way, that's creating opportunities for us. And so giving the kids rather than just giving them the answer of like, this is what you should do. This is how you run it. Cut here because I told you to cut there. Set a pick because I said set a pick, is giving them opportunities to fail and to make mistakes in those situations and then learn from those and kind of get, hey, you know, here's a new rule. You figured it out. Here's a new rule. Now you have to do this in order to score a goal. And it's okay. Well, now we have the confined space. Plus we have to set a pick for somebody who doesn't have the ball. Right. Okay. Well, how am I going to set a pick that's valuable instead of just picking for somebody over there that does nothing? I can set a pick here and that's going to create an opportunity for a teammate. So that's been one of our biggest ways of working on IQ. Again, it's kind of that similar thing of like, let them figure it out with guidance, but not solving the answer, you know, giving them the solution.
Right. Because I mean, like I said, they're just smarter. You know, it's like, one of my favorite songs is "A Wonderful World," and it says, "Watch them kids, and they will learn much more than we'll ever know," right? Because it's just a different world. But it's interesting you mentioned IQ, right? Because it's like you can certainly tell, like, you know, players who kind of get it, and players who don't, and that kind of really, if you can get everyone kind of that same IQ level, it enhances how you play it. You just play different.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, if you want to talk about what, you know, Adam Udell's strengths are and why he's so good at so many sports, and you know why he's such an amazing player, I think it's because his understanding of sport in general versus his understanding of the specific sport he plays, where he understands how to create space, how to fill space, right? Where the, you know, it's the age old phrase of like, he sees 2 plays ahead, right? 2 steps ahead of what's going on. He's already seeing how the next guy is going to shift and what that's going to open. So I should move this way so I can take advantage of that opening. So I think that's one of the things about Adam that's made him, you know, the player that he is. And, you know, I think that that comes directly from being a multi-sport athlete. I think that's one of the things that I appreciate the most. You know, I was a multi-sport athlete growing up. A lot of our coaches are. A lot of our coaches coach multiple sports at Staples or in the youth program. So we believe in that multi-sport athlete. And I think, you know, having kids play multiple sports is another way. Like they might not, their lacrosse IQ maybe is not developing in the fall, but in their fall sport or their winter sport, but they are developing athletic IQ and understanding, as well as, you know, again, the mental toughness of being in situations that we're going to see come the spring. They're doing that in the fall with, you know, football or soccer, and they're doing it in the winter with hockey and basketball
yeah
and wrestling.
Listen, you said that. It came back to my conversation with Caleb the first time I talked to him, right? And he told me, he said, and I asked, well, you know, how you perform? He says, well, I've kind of seen it all. Like, I mean, I've seen so many different situations that, you know, that come around that really not much faze me because I've seen through them all. And you mentioned about Adam, the understanding of sports, right? And I totally see that because sometimes it's like, even in basketball, it's crazy because Adam, like, you look like he didn't play a great game, and then you go, look, he's got a triple-double, right? And it's like, how does this fly under the radar?
Yeah.
Right? The kid had a triple, I mean, he's rebounding, he's passing the ball, he's scoring. And it's like, it's because, like, it's just like he's moving to places that nothing really flashy, but just kind of, well, we'll take the FCAC final out of it because that was pretty flashy. But, you know, but during the regular season, because, like I said, we follow the season.
Yeah.
So we get to see a lot of things that, wow, okay. Same thing with lacrosse. Like I said, I mean, go back to that Darien game. You guys didn't win that game, but I remember in the end, even when the game was kind of out of reach, Adam was still playing hard. He scored a goal late in that game. It was still like he was still learning through that game.
Yeah.
It's that mental toughness you talked about.
Yeah. You know, I think Adam is a great example. I think there's a lot of our guys that are multi-sport athletes that you see that crossover, right? And the mental toughness and the, you know, have, like you said, Caleb, I've seen it all. I've seen so much, right? Like, you know, we've had guys that have competed all across season and then they go and they have their best football season they've ever had, right? And they might be football first players, but because of the season they had with us where they were on the field and in these moments and preparing and game planning and going against our best players in practices and then going out on the, like, they go into their football season, they feel more confident. We've seen it the other way where they're coming off of a football state championship season and all of a sudden they come roll into the spring. You're like, this is a different player that then left us last fall or last spring into the summer. He came back because of that fall and he's a totally different player. And it's just so important. You know, I know we're a big school at Staples and we have a lot of kids, a lot of athletes, a lot of kids in the school. But it's just so important for us to have that crossover from sport to sport. And I think you see it in the amount of winning that's been done the last couple of years, you know, combination of, you know, great coaches that care about kids. And I think that's one of the best things that our athletic department has done in the last handful of years is coaches that really care about the kids and build those relationships, those personal relationships. And then the next piece is our athletic department and our coaches working together. Yeah. I think that's, you know, we're going to miss Coach Behrens absolutely because, you know, Coach and I sat across from each other in our office and, you know, we're together, you know, in the fall most days of the week, in the spring most days of the week, you know, in the office and there, and just building a relationship between the two programs has been massive for us with the amount of, you know, for us, there's kids that play football, that love football, that want to play college football, but they don't give up lacrosse because Coach Behrens doesn't, you know, in the past, Coach Behrens wasn't asking those guys to do that and say, you need to play football, you know, all year long. He was saying, go be an athlete in the spring. And we do the same thing with football. And that relationship has just been amazing.
Yeah. And like I said, you mentioned that Justin Hockey comes to mind, right? So he had such a great lacrosse season, not a really standout football player. Then he comes into that after that great lacrosse season. And he was a key part of that football run this year.
Absolutely.
Interceptions. I mean, just have the biggest games. And I remember I even talked to Coach Behrens after the game. He goes, talk about Justin. He goes, listen, Justin's a guy like I really didn't like talk too much because he just does all the things right.
Yeah.
He was just in the right place at the right time. He runs the right drills. He's at the right spot. And that's that discipline. Like it stops from sport to sport.
And that's, you know, honestly, that's exactly what Justin Halke is in lacrosse as well, right? Yeah. Like if you watch Justin play, you very, very rarely will find him make a mistake, right? He's just super consistent, super reliable. That's the word for Justin is reliable on the field. You know, he's doing the right thing all the time, rarely makes mistakes. And, you know, and he's not a guy that stands out and is super flashy, but he's critical to everything that we accomplish.
Yeah. And I always find that the reliable guys, they seem to, and, you know, and people always talk about role players. I don't like the role players mentality. Like I say, it's like they, because they are always in the right spot, the ball finds them.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the play finds them. Like I said, the play comes to them because they are in the right spot. They are disciplined enough to be where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So they're in a good spot to make a play.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it also goes back kind of to what I was saying earlier of like, you know, not going out there to find it, right? Yeah. Like exactly, not going out there to find it and understanding that your preparation has you ready.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, there last year, there's a handful of guys. I'm excited. There's you know, some young guys, some seniors that this is going to be their first time really getting significant playing time this year, I'm sure. And, you know, I'm excited to see those guys because the preparation that they've put in for years now is now this is the year that hopefully they get rewarded for that.
Yeah. And as we close here, so when people come out of the stadium, what are they going to see? Like top of lacrosse, what other team are they going to see there?
What are they going to see when they come watch us play? Well, listen, they're going to see – You know, I said this on my job interview, that this is what I was going to build, is a tough, fast, physical team that plays really smart. You know, I think when you look at us, you're going to see a team that, again, is tough physically and is tough mentally, you know, and will handle challenges. I think we should be, you know, hopefully we'll be a high scoring offense. I think, again, the offensive guys we have back, I think we should be in a good position there. And then, you know, I think defense will get figured out and figure out who the guys are and step up there. And Josh and Nett will be great, but I think it should be an exciting season. I think, you know, our play style this year, I think we're going to wind up with two-way midfielders, which just means guys that are playing defense, we're going to go to offense as well and back and forth and sub off, you know, throughout. But I think that'll allow us, hopefully, to play a little bit faster and score some more goals in transition.
Yeah, listen, I can't wait. I think you have a few scrimmages coming up. Is the 7th of the season open up?
So the 5th is the first game of the season.
Yeah.
We travel down to Long Island. Actually, you know, one town over from where I grew up, we play Smithtown West, who historically is a real strong program, kind of back on the upswing, back to getting back to that, you know, as a power on Long Island. And they've got a young coach, a new coach this year. And, you know, we connected and, when I got here, I basically was like, who's the biggest team I can go find? Let's go play them. And he kind of has that approach and I respect that. So, I'm excited to get down there to Long Island, play those guys. And then, that'll be the April 5th, and then we'll host Greenwich the following week. I want to say it's the 9th, April 9th. It'll be our first home game.
Got it. Yeah, so it's going to be exciting. Listen, I can't wait. Like I said, I still got in my mind that FCAC championship. It's going to be hard to get out of your mind, but, you know, hopefully we'll get a couple more this year. Coach, thanks so much for being here,
yeah,
and best of luck in the season.
I appreciate that.